So let us pray. Here we are again to worship. Crumpled and bruised. Knowing that we have stayed away too long from reflecting on your presence. Knowing that we keep repeating the same mistakes. Not understanding why we fail to make the best choices that lead to flourishing to life. But it's better late than never that we focus on you. Better honestly in pieces than pretending to be whole. And we know we are welcome. And we know we are known. And you bid us step in out of the darkness. Not the cold white light, but the warm glow of home. And despite its constancy, your grace surprises us every time, undoes us, breaks us down and remakes us, restores hope and joy, lightens our step and opens our heart. Lord, at this time as we gather to worship, we remember that we are yours, always have been, always will be, and we come as your flawed and foolish but grateful people. We lean into your love. Thank you. Amen. We join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you lead us?
Good morning, everybody. Hi, good morning. Today we are going to play a game. We're going to have a little quiz. Okay, so I think the children can join in with this as well. I don't think it's too difficult, but today we are going to play. First slide, please. Odd one out. Now that's a teaser. That's a pretty easy one. Lots of happy faces and one not very happy faces, but that's not one of the questions, I'm afraid. That's just the intro. So shall we play odd one out? Yes. Hands in the air. Yes. Next slide, please. So here we go. You've got to pick which is the odd one out. Telling, futile, meaningful, or significant. So, Beth says it's futile. Sue says futile. Yeah, futile. Let's have the answer, please, Richard. Yeah, futile. So that's a fairly easy one. So we'll come back to that later. Next slide, please. So I love this picture. This is a medieval woman teaching people geometry, and they all look really miserable, And the guy that's pointing to it is like, what the heck is that? It's brilliant. Anyway, yes, rectangle, triangle, cube or square? Which is the answer? Oh, we've had several different options. The answer is, Richard, cube, because it's 3D and the others are not. Okay, so next one, please. Oh, no, we had to have chocolate in here, didn't we? This is my quiz, so we had to have chocolate. Hazel Whirl, Brazilian Darkness, Country Fudge, or Strawberry Cream? Which is the odd one out? Brazilian Darkness, Strawberry Cream, because it's horrible. You're joking. Oh, now this is dividing the nation here. This is dividing the nation. Right, the answer is Strawberry Cream. It's a bit of a trick question, I'm afraid, because Strawberry Cream is not the name of a rose's chocolate. It's a strawberry dream. So sorry about that. I tricked you. Actually, the least favourite, apparently, is the Hazel Whirl. They did a survey and they said that the Hazel Whirl was the least popular. I can't remember what the most popular was, so that's helpful, isn't it? But anyway, next question, please. As you know, I've been out and about quite a lot this lockdown in the park. I've seen these lovely, beautiful kingfishers. I've been really lucky to see them. Which is the odd one out, though? Barn owl, kestrel, pheasant, or kingfisher? So we've got barn owl. A lot of people saying barn owl. Some people saying pheasant, kingfisher. Okay. The answer is pheasant, because it's the only one that's not indigenous to this country. Pheasant was brought in with the Romans, the coming of the Romans. So all the others are indigenous to this country except for the pheasant. So there we go. That is the end of our quiz. Well done, everybody. Now I want to read you the first verse of our New Testament Bible passage today. Some Greeks were among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival. They went to Philip and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." In this passage, we find Philip and Jesus welcoming in people who were odd ones out, people who were on the outside. They were Greeks. They were probably Jewish converts, maybe, but Jesus was giving some really telling, significant and meaningful teaching to everybody, Greeks, Jews, whoever. He was teaching everybody and welcoming everybody. And we're going to hear more about that teaching in a minute. Amen.
Thanks, Sam. Two readings, the first from Jeremiah, which Maddie will read to us. The Babylonian exile is the consequence to the people of the fact they have abandoned their special relationship, their covenant, which was made at the Exodus. But now Jeremiah announces God's forgiveness and that the law is not a new set of rules, not any set of rules, but it is certainly not a you do this and you will get that sort of rules. It is something that will be internal, that God will write this new law on their hearts. And then from John, which Camilo will read to us, outsiders, as we know, come to Jesus. He speaks of giving up to do God's will, giving up safety, giving up ease, and giving up self-centered living. Thank you.
Very sorry. starts at verse 31, Jeremiah chapter 31. The Lord says, "The time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the old covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Although I was like a husband to them, they did not keep that covenant. The new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel will be this. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. None of them will have to teach his fellow citizen to know the Lord, because all will know me, from the least to the greatest. I will forgive their sins and I will no longer remember their wrongs. I, the Lord, have spoken." Amen.
The second reading is from the book of John, chapter 12, starting at verse 20. Some Greeks were among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival. They went to Philip, he was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to receive great glory. I am telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. If it does die, then it will produce many grains. Whoever loves his own life will lose it. Whoever hates his own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now, my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Shall I say, 'Father, do not let this hour come upon me'? But that is why I came, and so that I might go through the home of suffering. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice spoke from heaven, "I have brought glory to it, and I will do it again." The crowd standing there heard the wise and with some of them, and said, "It was the thunder," while others said, "An angel spoke to him." But Jesus said to them, "It was not for my sake that this voice spoke, but for yours. Now it is in this time for the world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be overthrown." When I said, "Lift up now how the earth, I will throw everyone to me," saying this, we indicated the kind of death he was going to suffer. End of the reading. Thanks be to God.
How do you take the teaching of Jesus and then use it in your everyday life? When Jesus is talking about something, Do you assume that actually it's nothing to do with you and the living of your life today? Or do you think that everything he says, you can take from its context, pay no attention to its context, and that will make it applicable to us? The truth to know is that there are different ways of studying the Bible. There is the open it and stick in a pin way. Not the best, I would suggest. There is the chew it over, ruminate upon it, Ignatian, to give it its Ponty Sunday name, Ignatian way. Let your imagination play with it sort of a way. There is the study the life out of it, squish any joy, smash any life out of the thing, a dry, dry, dry sort of a way. And then there's the something in between that, hopefully, that we usually go for, which is, what is the context? What was the writer trying to say to us? What was the writer saying then, and what has it got to do with us now? It's not to deny that the word has a context, has a meaning for us today, but also it has a context in time. Read it. Or as Jesus says, unless it dies to being dry words on a printed page, or as Jeremiah says, it must be written on our hearts. So here we have two texts, teaching offered in a specific time to a specific crowd that we apply in different times. And that's okay. In John, we have about the essential sacrifice of Jesus. And in Jeremiah, we have a teaching about the new covenant, which will become internal. Let's start with that. This passage in Jeremiah is, for many people, the only passage in Jeremiah that they know. It's the only place where we get some notion of a new covenant mentioned. The people have broken the covenants through the years. They've done it often. And God here is offering a new covenant. And the context is of the return from exile of the people of Israel. The old, the Mosaic covenant, was conditional and transactional. It's stated bluntly in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. You do this and that will happen. But the new covenant will follow the return from exile, and it will not be conditional and it will not be transactional. It will not be full of rules that can be broken or followed insincerely from a sense of obligation or duty. Instead, verse 33, I, that is the Lord, will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And it's a new covenant, not because of its content, but because now it is internal. It's about an internal way of being. It's not about the sacrifices in the temple, largely now destroyed, but in the internal ways of God changing the heart, and that flows into activity. But for John, the internal matters of faith must spill into a life of a particular type. It's not enough to do things and signs of faithful obedience. That's not enough. Jesus goes to the cross and gives up his life. Those who give up their lives will gain them. Indeed, they will gain everything. Those among us who are brave enough to love and are prepared to share their heart, that is dying to self and self-obsession. But the secret, the nugget, is that the moment you give up your life, all of life is gained. One of the tough things about this season is that for some people, the way that they give up their lives, the way that they love, those options have been cut off for them. So if you were a person who was very focused on projects, or if you were a person who, say, worked in a charity shop or worked alongside people, as your options are limited. And the flow of love that you usually experience is cut off. But worry not. New ways will be found to allow God's love to flow through you. Jeremiah's covenant goes in a different direction. There's no new act of political liberation that is in view here, but simply a divine act of forgiveness that in and of itself creates a new covenant that is written in the hearts of the Hebrew people. It's a new covenant. Obedience to the law, the Torah, and acting in accordance with God's will that will become part of their internal character, something that happens automatically and becomes almost unconscious, something done without any thought or any effort. And it's true that the more that you do something, the easier it becomes. That's whether it's a good something or a bad something, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes. We form habits. For the people, they will do God's will. They will follow Torah because they will take the rules deep within themselves. It's not enough, though, to know those rules deep within ourselves. They must flow. Has this been a time for you of opening the treasure chest of the truths of the gospel? Those things that you put aside for a time like this. You didn't know about a global pandemic, but you knew, because none of you are idiots, you knew that there would be something. And is this a time when you've opened your treasure chest and you've found some things that you have been able to pick up and use? Well, maybe now is a time to restock your treasure chest. Not to say that your time's been easy, but we knew God with us. But if it's not been like that, then maybe now is a time that you need to be wondering about putting some things in place in your treasure chest, deep within you. What do you need to do to take deep nourishment? And of course, we may be coming to the end of this global pandemic. We may be. But we're not coming to the end of the challenges of life for all of us. So what do we need to put in place? What are we going to be brave enough to do that will work inside us and transform the people that we are? Now for John, this strange reading that comes, the way the lectionary works is that the text we are going to read next week comes before this text. Next week, Palm Sunday, Jesus has gone into Jerusalem. Jesus has entered Jerusalem, not snuck in the back door, entered Jerusalem. And to make things even worse, the Romans and the leaders of the people have noticed that Jesus is attracting a crowd. John 12:19. The Pharisees say in exasperation, "Look, the whole world went to him." For John, the mission of Jesus is an ingathering of the world. And it will come about only through his death and resurrection. He will literally die to self. So here in John's Gospel, we have Jesus' final public bits of teaching. He does private stuff later with the disciples, you know, those long sermons that we use for communion and things like it. But here is his last bit of public teaching, and he speaks to a group of people who are both Jews and Greeks. The fact that the Greeks arrive is not surprising, but Jesus, maybe their arrival prompts him. His comment, "Now my hour has come." It was normal in first century synagogues for there to be Gentiles, those who had appreciated the teaching of Judaism. So not surprising that they were there for the Passover either. For Jesus, this is a sign that he needs to act. And it also reflects the prophecy in Isaiah that all nations will come to Jerusalem and worship. Foreigners, outsiders will worship at the holy mountain. And of course, for John, people are drawn to Jesus, not to the temple. So John's Gospel, as I said, focuses on this notion of people gathering. In fact, the verb to gather, a little bit of scholarship for you, probably not going to come up in a pub quiz. I just want to put that out there. A little bit of scholarship that the word for gathering occurs 7 times in John. Yet Jesus's gathering, Jesus's triumph, is not about the triumphal entry, as we call it. It's about the cross. It's about his death. It's not the gathering of the big crowd, not the large numbers, but it's about lives changed. So for John's Gospel, it's not enough just to want to come and see him. We must have ears unclogged, vision corrected by the trauma that is the crucifixion and the resurrection. Jesus makes it clear that we cannot escape darkness and death, but we must trust God, who will bring us life. And that message has never been more important than it is now. We who have endured all this time of pandemic and seemingly endless death, even if it's not people we know, it is somebody who matters to somebody. We may not be able to avoid the darkness, but we can be like the prophet Isaiah says, and we would take it into a Christian context, that he will light our paths towards life. So let us be still, and then we will pray together. And bidding in the response, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. And the Greeks came. And we remember all those who are treated badly because of their place of origin or their skin tone. And we pray for a time to come when all people will be gathered in, and we will rejoice in diversity of colours and races, cultures and backgrounds. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. We remember those who are vulnerable, those who are frightened to leave their homes. Because of COVID, because of what they've heard about street crime. We pray for a time to come when this disease will be behind us and when violence will be no more and we will live in security and safety. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. We remember those who have suffered abuse at the hands of a friend or stranger, and those who bear the scars of physical, mental, and emotional suffering. And we pray for the time when all women and all men will respect each other and where children will not suffer violence or abuse. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. We remember those whose human rights were ignored, those used as political pawns in disputes between the nations. Think of the people of Myanmar and the Yemen. And we pray for a time when peace will reign throughout the world. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. We remember those who are alone and those who are lonely, those who mourn, those who are ill. We pray for a time when there will be no more pain or tears. We pray for Michelle, Elizabeth Cole's daughter, who's battling with COVID. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Loving God, as we look upon each other, may we see your image, which we all share. May we love as we are loved. And may we welcome as we have been welcomed by you. In your name we pray. Amen. As you might have guessed, there's been a wee bit of tech argy-bargy going on. A little bit of, not argy-bargy, that's the wrong word, isn't it? That implies there's been a street fight. No, no, no. It's just been a wee bit of, you know, come on, a wee bit of tech challenge. So thank you to all those techies who've been trying to make things happen in the background. And I hope you get a lie down this afternoon in the darkened room. Marvellous. And while we're on the subject of techies, we want to say a big, big thank you to James for the disco yesterday. Woo! Yeah. I won't say anything about ABBA. That's just good. It was just great. Thank you. Thank you, James. It's good. And so any comments, please? You know, good old cardio exercise. Fabulous. Any comments, send the messages to me and we'll get together and we'll do the only comment that's not acceptable is we're not having it next Saturday. That's the one that's not happening. We've already sorted that one out. Not happening. No. Thank you. Thank you, James. This evening, 6:30, there'll be an area, synod area service to remember to pray, because we're heading for the year anniversary now of this strange time that we're in. So that's the purpose of that. We'll be sending round all the notices with, so all your login details for that, I'll give them to you. If you feel like you crashed into Holy Week and you didn't, sorry, into Lent and you didn't give it your usual time to reflect, I've made a suggestion for a book you might want to use, and we will be using that in our services. There'll be a reflection every day at 2, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, service at 7 o'clock, something Thursday, something Friday, something Saturday. All the details will be on the notices that I'm going to send you out today. The practical things that we need from you at this point are: one, if you were given a square and you've done some sewing, please come and have it back, because we want to make some lovely banners. 2, could we have the chicks that some of you have knitted? 3, when you're going out for a walk over the Palm Sunday and the Easter, would you like to walk past the building and you'll see all the loveliness that's been going on? But 4, to make the change between the beautiful banner that's coming, we want to hang up some not very beautiful crosses. So when you're going out for a walk, 2 bits of wood together, lash them together. Hey, I don't care if you sellotape them together, just 2 bits of wood. You could paint them, you could make them something beautiful. That would be great. Let me know and we'll collect them and we'll make that happen. The other thing, for we are having an Easter tea on Easter Saturday, 3 o'clock, bonnets. Get making those hats. And we all know you can't go to the shops. So, now's the chance. Yeah. Now's the chance for, craft imbeciles like me to shine. Yeah. I'll send you all the details about that. Tomorrow's Body and Soul isn't going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is because Rosette has heard of a family member dying in Uganda. So that will be taking her time and energy. So no Body and Soul, and remember Rosette, please, in your prayers. Meditation will be happening and I'll be sending you details of that. And also I'll be sitting by my phone from 4 till 6, waiting for you to call me. Tuesday coffee morning, the topic this week, pinnacle of everybody's anxiety and concern. Apple pie or apple crumble? Discuss. Tuesday morning. Be there. Contentious, I'm sure you'll agree. Tomorrow, it will be June Avery's funeral. 2:20, and it's being live streamed, so I'll send you all the details of that. Elizabeth Cole, as you will have noticed in the prayers of intercession, her daughter Michelle has COVID and is unwell, and she has sole care responsibility for her daughter Emmy. So she's, this little girl's being looked after by this ill woman. So remember them in that, difficult situation. Pray for God's healing. And this week, Han Sol flies back to Korea. Han Sol, who's been so generous to us in terms of her planning and sharing of her creativity. So we want to wish her well, which we will do in practical ways. And we want to give her a round of applause now. So let's do it. And so I hope you can hear our appreciation. We're really grateful, thank you. So now we are moving to our Holy Communion, if you'd like to get yourself equipped. So let us pray. Oh God, have mercy on me. I have so little mercy on myself. Wipe away our faults, for they loom large. We know we've done wrong. Wash clean our guilt, for we cling on to things long past and we fear the judgment that we deserve. We know it's true that we've sinned, but we have heard tell of your mercy. We know that we don't live by the truth you long for, but we have heard tell of your grace. Without your mercy and your grace, we are laid low. There is no joy in us. We are crushed. Create in us a clean heart that beats because of your mercy and your grace, and welcome us at your table, that we will be fed with the bread of life. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, that our joy may be renewed. Lord, we pray. Amen. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we take this bread and we take this wine, and as Jesus gave thanks, so we give thanks. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the countless examples in human experience of good brought through suffering, of your love rising and your truth ringing out of disappointment, frustrated purpose, and the dark pain of grief. We thank you for the continuing promises held out to us that good will come, that your love and your truth will rise and ring again through our commitment, our loss, our sorrow. Thank you for the assurance that you will always be there for us. In the deepest darkness, we are not alone. Beyond all feeling numbed with grief, we are held in your love. Though our minds give way and our eyes are deadened, your truth will shine for us. We thank you for this bread and this wine, for this meal and this time together. We thank you for bread and wine, reminders of your sacrifice, your body broken, your blood spilled. But our gathering together reminds us of the power of your Spirit to gather us in, to call us and to hold us. It is mysterious. We do not understand. We know it is true, and we are grateful. Amen. He took bread, blessed and broke it, and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." And he took wine. "This is my blood," he said, "it is shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. There is a coming time when hearts will not be broken but healed. real hearts, not the stuff of adverts sweetly signed with chocolate or filled with fluff, but hearts that know God, that keep God's time, that quicken to God's ways, that God has written on and forgiven. This is God's promise. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our final hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness. Please stay for conversation in a breakout room if you can, that'd be great. But now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God, Creator, Son, and Spirit, be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen.